Congress again continues funding for the F-136 program, American Airlines parts company with Orbitz, and Airbus firms up 50 orders in Latin America. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, December 24th, 2010. Development of an alternative engine for the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, it's called the F-136 and is being built by GE and Rolls-Royce, will continue at least until March 4th, despite the fact the Pentagon has no plans to use the engine. The continuing resolution, which avoided a shutdown of the U.S. federal government this week, also continued funding the engine to nowhere. Reaction pretty much follows expectations for a pork program. Senator Joe Lieberman of Connecticut, home state to Pratt & Whitney, which won the contract to build the F-135 engine that will be used in the fighter, vows to continue fighting its competitor. Quote, "It is unconscionable that while the Air Force and Navy struggle to sustain their essential programs under the constraints of a continuing resolution, the administration could be forced to waste one more dollar on this unnecessary second engine for the Joint Strike Fighter," unquote. Senator Sherrod Brown, a Democrat from Ohio, where GE manufactures, clearly views the F-136 as a jobs program. Quote, "Continued federal funding means that Ohio workers can continue building an engine that is good for our military and good for Southwest Ohio's economy," unquote. David Joyce, the CEO of GE Aviation, opines, quote, "Ensuring competing Joint Strike Fighter engines is vital to the country," unquote. It's not clear what'll happen with this engine when development is complete. It's kind of big to be an APU. Meanwhile, Pratt & Whitney announced this week that the F-135 engine, the one actually being used in the Joint Strike Fighter, has passed 20,000 total test hours, including ground and flight time. American Airlines has pulled its fares off the Orbitz website effective immediately. The move comes following a dispute over how the airline sells fares and other services through the site. A judge in Cook County, Illinois, ruled Tuesday that American could sever its relationship with Orbitz. The airline says it can do a better job for the customer through direct contact. Some consumer activists say airlines such as American and Delta, which pulled its fare information from three smaller travel sites last week, are simply making it harder for consumers to directly compare value among competitors. LAN Airlines has signed a firm order for 50 new Airbus A320 family aircraft, making it the largest single airline order for Airbus in Latin America. The sale was initially announced as a memo of understanding at Farnborough in July. LAN has selected Sharklets for its A320s, and deliveries should start in 2013. Up next on ANN, Bombardier gets an FAA type certificate for the CRJ-1000. The DFC-90 is now legal for Cirrus owners in Europe. And EASA greenlights the G-1000 in the King Air 200. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Hypersport.
Pipermatch.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G-1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for December 24th. I'm Paul Plack. Bombardier announced this week it's received FAA type certification for the CRJ-1000 next-gen regional jet. The approval follows Transport Canada and the European Aviation Safety Agency, both of which acted last month. Bombardier President Gary Scott touts one of the model's big selling points to the airlines. Quote, "All CRJ aircraft models have the same type rating for flight crews and share common maintenance, training, spares, and ground support equipment, providing the only true family of jetliners spanning 50 to 100 seats," unquote. The first two CRJ-1000 next-gen airliners were delivered to launch customers Air Nostrum of Spain and Britair of France from Bombardier's facility in Quebec last week. EASA has given European approval to Avadyne's DFC-90 attitude-based digital autopilot for use in European-registered Cirrus aircraft. Patrick Hergeth, Avidyne's COO, says the device offers European Cirrus customers significant performance and safety enhancements. Quote, the DFC-90 has particular value to European pilots, with its enhanced attitude-based guidance that significantly improves non-GPS overlay approaches such as VORs and NDBs, still prevalent in Europe, unquote. EASA has also validated the U.S. Supplemental Type Certificate for installation of the Garmin G1000 avionics suite in the King Air 200 and B200. Garmin says deliveries have already gotten underway in Europe. The King Air 200 and B200 STC also includes approval for Garmin's synthetic vision technology. Interested King Air owners should contact an authorized G1000 retrofit dealer. Still ahead, is TSA groping really less hated than shoe removal? NASA touts the benefits of the space program to life on Earth. And how many researchers actually use suborbital flights? You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Cirrus Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, December 24th. I'm Paul Plack. If you find yourself avoiding airline travel except when it's absolutely necessary, it probably won't come as a surprise that you're far from alone. In the outrage over the TSA's escalation of security theater, the airlines and airports have been curiously quiet, perhaps more than happy to let the federal government take the heat for all the scanning and groping. But if the results of a recent survey of travelers are correct, the new policies could be costing the industry a bunch of money. The U.S. Travel Association commissioned the Consensus Research Group to do the survey, which got feedback from 1,000 U.S. travelers aged 25 or older who've flown during the past 2 years. Respondents said they would take an average of 2 to 3 more trips per year if the hassle involved in flying could be reduced without compromising security. If that holds true across the general population, those additional trips would add an estimated $84.6 billion in travel spending and support 888,000 additional jobs. The association has convened a blue ribbon panel for frictionless aviation security, comprised of industry and security experts and former government officials. The panel is expected to issue its report in early 2011. You know, I'd love to see the complete list of questions asked, but this one makes me chuckle. Nearly 9 out of 10 respondents said that if we can put a man on the moon, we can create a passenger security system that doesn't frighten or inconvenience travelers. There was one surprise, at least for me. Respondents were more annoyed by having to take their shoes off than they were by full body scans. NASA has published the 2010 edition of Spinoff, which highlights ways in which technology developed for the U.S. space program is benefiting Earthlings in other ways. Early examples, years ago, included the development of digital clocks and pocket calculators. Among the examples in the revised edition, algorithms developed by a NASA researcher are enabling technology for medical diagnosis and prediction of brain blood flow-related conditions such as stroke, dementia, and traumatic brain injury. NASA-proven drag-reducing wing modifications have already saved commercial airlines more than 2 billion gallons of jet fuel. Image sensors invented by a NASA team are now featured in 1 out of 3 cell phone cameras. And a groundwater remediation compound, created by NASA to treat contaminated launch facilities, is now being used to clean up polluted areas around the world. Spinoff is available in PDF form as a free download. Find the link at the bottom of the text version of this story, dated December 23rd, at aero-news.net. And no, it does not make a great gift. And finally, I have to say that as I've watched all the new developments in commercial spaceflight, I've heard a lot of these companies talk about providing access for researchers to suborbital space and wondered how many could actually use short-duration flights like that. Well, apparently the question is not unfounded. There's not much of a waiting list for flights that don't reach orbit. NASA is moving to create some demand there to foster the growth of companies flying vehicles to the edge of space and back. The Flight Opportunities Program is seeking capacity information from commercial providers and will play matchmaker to researchers needing rides for their experiments. Many of these opportunities will provide incremental revenue to companies conducting passenger flights to take tourists to the edge of space. ANN has been unable to confirm that Samuel L. Jackson has already been signed to star in White Rats on a Space Plane. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, it's the second and final part of Jim Campbell's interview with New Robinson Helicopter President Kurt Robinson. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend. And I heard him exclaim as he jumped in his sleigh, "Merry Christmas! Have a clear and unlimited day."